All right, hallelujah. Amen. All right, if you could turn to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. We're going to flip through some passages today. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It reads, "The Lord said to Abram," could you turn up the lights a little bit more? Sorry. Let there be light. Yeah. Very good. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. "The Lord has said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" Amen. I'm just going to preach a real simple three-point sermon tonight. And the first point of my message tonight is, God blesses you so that you can be a blessing. You know, a lot of people pray for God's blessing, but we must realize that God will more likely answer your prayer for blessing if you are answering His call for you to be a blessing. God blesses you so that you can be a blessing. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. God blesses you so that you can be a blessing. Hallelujah. All right, you see, the nature of God's blessing is, think about it, what is God's blessing? What is the nature of God's blessing? The nature of God's blessing is, it overflows. It overflows. It's abundant. It's not right to keep God's blessing to yourself. It's like being deserted on an island, like Lost, like in Lost, you know? And let's say, you know, you're Jack, or you're the girl. What's the girl? Kate? What's her name? Kate, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know what she's all about, right? But, yeah, you're just exploring the island, and you find this fresh spring of water. And there's just more than enough for everybody to drink from it every day. Just abundant spring. How wrong would it be for you to keep that to yourself? If you found that spring and you kept it all to yourself. Jesus said that whoever drinks the water that He gives will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The blessings that God pours out into your life, they're supposed to well up. Because the nature of His blessing is, it overflows, it's abundant. The question is, are you seeking to be a blessing? Every day when you get dressed, every day when we get dressed, we need to put on an attitude. You know? You're looking through your closet, what should I wear today? I can't wear what I wore yesterday. I gotta wear, you're looking through your, and you put on something, right? Every day you decide what to wear. Right, Monica? Monica is all about the wardrobe. Yeah, sister, woo, she's a dresser. Yeah, hallelujah. And every day we decide what wardrobe, what are we going to wear. What we really need to do is we also need to put on an attitude. And it's like, Lord, make me a blessing today. Make me sensitive to the needs of others so that I can be a blessing to them. You know, I have a friend named Eric Ahn. Eric Ahn. And it's funny, actually, he has this shirt. I think it's a volleyball jersey. And it says, "I am Eric Ahn." Alright. And if you read it, it says, "I American." I am Eric Ahn. I American. Yeah. That's a real friend I got, Eric. And Eric has been such a blessing to me in my life. I don't know if Eric's going to be listening to this, but one time I was at Juilliard And my car just got a flat. Actually, got two flats. Actually, I think the tires were slashed. Because, you know, you don't usually get two flats when you, you know, go back to a car that's parked. But anyway, obviously, I don't have enough spares to get home. And, you know, I was with my friend Jackie. And we were just talking. And I was just calling all these people. And people would pick up and go, oh, man, I'd love to help. But you know what? I have dinner right now. I have a dinner appointment. You know, I got to be somewhere else. And I called Eric. And he had like a hot date. He was supposed to be with this girl. I think he had a date or something. But he said, oh, no, you know what, Christian? I just drove over there right now. So he drove over from New Jersey to New York City, you know, and came to Juilliard just to help me get the tires that I needed to get my car out. All right. Eric is a blessing to me. You know, he's a prime example of a guy who's been a blessing to me. And you know, he's always been a blessing. If any of you guys read a book called The Prayer of Jabez, you know that in the book, it talks about how this guy Jabez, he prays a simple prayer. It goes something like this. 1 Chronicles 4:10, he says, oh, that you will bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. That's called the Jabez Prayer. And there's it's a really short passage in the Bible, but there's like this book written about it. And it's a real simple prayer. But people who have utilized this simple prayer after reading this book, they have experienced amazing testimonies. Just testimonies just start, you know, pouring in, and this book became a bestseller. Ordinary people began to see extraordinary experiences. God's blessing to people, they became a blessing to others. They influenced people that they otherwise would have never influenced. And I think the reason why God loves the Jabez prayer, why he answers it when people pray it, is because he loves the heart of this prayer. And it goes, Lord, bless me so that I can be a blessing. Lord, enlarge my territory so that I can expand your kingdom. Lord, I don't want to just stay within my sphere of influence. I want my territory to be enlarged. Bless me so that I can be a blessing. Brothers and sisters, the first point of my message tonight is God blesses you so that you can be a blessing. So seek to be a blessing in your everyday life. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, you can turn that there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, it reads like this. I'm going to skip kind of a little part in the middle. It says, but just as you excel in everything, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Second point of my message tonight, God wants you to excel in the grace of giving. You know, a lot of people, they want to get. You know, what am I going to get out of this? Get. What's in it for me? But very few people live a life where they seek to give. But when we read God's word, it tells us to excel in the grace of giving. Tell your neighbor that. You need to excel in the grace of giving. You see, God has given us everything that we have. Our families, our friends, our health, our possessions, our talents, our spiritual gifts. I mean, God loves to give. He is the giver. It's in His nature to give. But as we receive, it's not just like God's like, yeah, I just want to give. But as we receive, He wants us to reflect His nature. Amen? We need to aim to arm ourselves with a giving attitude. Lord, today, when I see a poor or needy person, I'm going to give them some money. Whenever I see, wherever I see someone down, I'm going to give them an encouragement. Be a giver. You know, last week I preached on joy. Rejoice in the Lord, always. But did you know that our joy is connected to our giving? The reason why so many people have a joyless life is because they are not living to give, they're just living to get. What are my needs? What about my future? What about my comforts? Why should I give anything to Him? What am I going to get out of it? So many people live a life to get. But it is those who tap into a life of giving that they find joy. And brothers and sisters, a selfish life is a joyless life. In fact, people who live lives selfishly, even in the secular world, they're not remembered. When's the last time you read in a history book about someone who's honored for being selfish? Right? Even the world knows that it's great contribution that causes you to be remembered. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to know the joy of giving. He wants to add to you testimonies. He wants to show you miracles. But you can only experience them if you're giving. He wants us to excel in the grace of giving. Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything spectacular either. And you don't have to wait for a special occasion. It could be something small in an ordinary day. You know, give somebody a smile. You know, I'm preaching to myself because, you know, when I'm at the CC office, you know, sometimes I just get so caught up in my work. You know, I'm a choleric and I get very goal-oriented. I get so caught up in my work. If anyone disturbs my work space, especially if they're giving me complex instructions in Korean, which I don't understand, I just look at them like, 모르겠습니다. Yeah. And I just like have this annoyed look. And you know, I've been doing it for the last 2 years. I'm starting to see that, you know, people at the office, they you know, they don't treat me very well anymore. But you know what I need, I'm preaching to myself, because I, you know, all it takes is a smile. I just gotta look, and I could be annoyed inside, but if I just give them a smile, you know, at least they go away, you know. You know, I still can't help them, but at least, you know, they go away feeling a little bit better. It could be just ordinary things. Give somebody a call. When's the last time you gave one of your good friends just a call out of the blue? And just be like, look, why'd you call? I just want to say hi. You know? And you know, that just blesses people. You know, if it comes at the right time, you know, God may move upon your heart. You might get that tug and you're like, I'm just too busy. But God may have given you that tug because your friend's going through a hard time. But if you just give them an ordinary call or give them a ride home, just ordinary things you can give every day. But you got to open your eyes. Lord, help me to be sensitive to the people you bring across my path today. Lord, open up my eyes that I may see the opportunities where I can give. You know, giving is not going to, you're not going to be able to see these opportunities if you're in autopilot mode. You got to look for the opportunities to give. And when we give, the attitude of our hearts is very important. And there's two ways to do it. There's two ways that God two attitudes God wants you to have when you give. One is He wants you to give cheerfully. And two is He wants you to give generously. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, when we give to others, God's looking at our heart. Melissa, give up that sandwich. When you give it up for, you know, give it up for Charlie Brown. Give it up for Christian. He's hungry. You know, and God's going to look to Melissa's heart. He's not just looking for the external obedience, He's looking to her heart. And God wants us to give cheerfully. And I got to admit, I'm preaching to myself here. This is not easy. Okay? Growing up in a lower middle class home in Philadelphia, I developed a habit of just keeping everything. Alright? When you hear stories of people getting robbed at night, and just, you know, and you're on the streets, and people, you know, rob you on the streets, you know, you tend to protect your value, like your belongings. And I guess I took it a little to the extreme. But on top of that, I'm also very sentimental. So I don't like throwing things away. I like to just keep everything. Even if it's something I no longer need and I will never need again, I still keep it. Alright? Like my Nintendo games. If you go back to Philadelphia, in my mom's house, I still got many of my Nintendo games still in their original packaging. Because I used to just keep all the boxes and the manuals. Anyway. Actually, for the last 8 years of my life, I've moved around 6 times. Whew, I've done a lot of moving. God just keeping me on the run. And I hate moving. Not only because it's expensive, but because whenever friends come over to help me move, they throw away my things without my permission. You know, I always have to check the trash before we leave. I mean, all kinds of things in there. Hey, why are you throwing this away? Now, if I have a hard time throwing out things that I don't even use or need, you can imagine how difficult it is for me to give away something that I do use or could use. But over the years, I've been getting a little better. For example, when I was a sophomore at NYU, I roomed with two of my friends. One of my friends used to use my Clearasil facial wash without my permission. How could I tell? Well, I would twist the cap just 3/4 closed. And I would face the label away from me on the tub. And every time my roommate would get out the shower, the cap would be fully twisted shut and the label would be facing me, looking at me and going, somebody use me. Alright, maybe he was intending to buy his own face wash, but he just kept forgetting. Alright, I try to show him some grace. But it just kept happening over and over again. So what did I do? Well, I just let it slide. That's what I did. And then I moved out. At the end of that semester, I moved out. Alright. Couldn't take it no more. Alright, now that wasn't the main reason I moved out. Alright, don't think I'm that shallow. Alright. That was not the main reason I moved out. Alright. But I was really glad I did, okay? Now today, I live in Seoul. And I share an apartment with two of my friends. One of my roommates likes to use my soap. Now I don't mind sharing, but it's a little annoying because the soap bar is gone after 1 week. When normally it will take a whole month for me to go through it. Now, I know y'all thinking, you know, Christian, you just need to let this slide. Like, what kind of man are you? What kind of measure of a man are you when you get upset over a bar of soap? All right, no need to move out. Okay? Now, God convicted my heart recently, not only to just let it slide, but to cheerfully give a bar of soap to share with my roommate. Just intentionally put it there to share with him. Now, it wasn't easy. All right, but after a lot of prayer, okay, I was able to do it cheerfully. And oh, hallelujah. Because a few days later, I got a free bar of soap at the JCM picnic. And then a few days after that, at my sister's birthday dinner, she brought me 2 bars of soap out of the blue. Hallelujah. I gave 1 bar of soap up cheerfully, and God blessed me with 3. Oh, hallelujah. That is the joy of giving, brothers and sisters. Y'all need to experience some of that. Alright, y'all need to experience some of that. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. That's the first attitude He wants us to have. And the second attitude is just, it goes even deeper than that. When we give, God wants us to give generously. Psalm 37:21 says, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." All right, you are the righteous in Christ. And the righteous are called to give and to give generously. In Psalm 112:5, the Bible tells us that good will come to him who is generous. Proverbs 22:9, "A generous man will himself be blessed." And in Proverbs 11:25, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." If you're going to be a giver, be a generous giver. All right? And I'm preaching to myself here, all right? Because, you know, sometimes I give, you know, and I just want to give the minimum, you know. I just want to give the minimum. You know what I mean? Come on. Come on, don't tell me I'm the only one, right? Well, who wants to give? It doesn't come naturally for me to give and to give generously, you know. Unless I'm on like a hot date, you know, somebody that, you know, I really am crushing on or something, you know, then it's like easy. But like, just like for my sister or like, no. Or, you know, just like, you know, just when you're out with friends, you know, you don't necessarily want to, when you might want to give, but not give generously, you know. But I'll tell you something, brothers and sisters, stingy givers get no blessing from God. They both give. They give anyway. They're giving, but if they're doing it stingily, they're just giving they're just being cheap about it, right? Cheap givers get no blessing. But in the Bible, there are plenty of promises for generous givers. All the promises are attached to those who give and give generously. 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." You got to give generously. I don't got no friends. Where are my friends? What about my friends? Are they going to land their ground? Are they going to let you down? Yeah. Old school TLC. What about your friends? All right. What about my friends? Where are my friends? How come I don't have no friends? Well, look. I hate to say it, but friendships are like the stock market. You got to invest. And you got to put in your time. And you got to invest wisely. You got to be strategic about it. You got to... Or else, you're not going to get a return. Situational friends will come and go. But it is those friends that you invest in. That you give. You give your love. You give. And you sacrifice. You invest in them. That's when you can expect a return back. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows generously will also reap generously. And here's a little secret when it comes to giving. Give to those who cannot pay you back. Give your money to the poor. Give your attention to needy children. Give your time to the elderly. Give your services to the widows. Give a glass of water to a stranger. Anyone can stay late at work and give help to a coworker who can potentially scratch your back. What? That was weird. But it takes a heart of compassion to give to those who cannot pay you back. But that's what the Bible commands us to do. Here's a little secret when it comes to giving. Give to those who can't pay you back. Because if you give to those who can't pay you back, let me tell you something. Although they can't repay you, God will. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 15, I'll read it to you. You can look it up. It's a good passage to look at too. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7, 8, 10, and 11. Really interesting passage. It says, "Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. Rather, be open-handed. Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you," this is the Lord speaking, "I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy." Give generously. And this passage is saying, don't just give to your brothers. Don't just give to people in the church. Give to strangers. Give to people, poor, the needy, the people who will never pay you back. Give to them. And because of this, God will bless you. And not only will He bless you in some of your work, it says God will bless you in all your work. It doesn't say some of the things you put your hand to, but if you give generously, it says God will bless everything you put your hand to. Oh, hallelujah. For those who just get this, your income level just went up. And yeah, we're talking money too. We're talking money. Nothing wrong with being blessed monetarily. God blessed Abraham. God blessed Isaac. Now, the patriarchs were richly blessed. They had servants that waited on them. And it's those who give generously that find the blessing of God. And you might be like, why? That's so hard. It's so hard to give to people who can't pay me back. The Bible says, stop being hard-hearted. Stop being tight-fisted. Rather, be open-handed. Be like the Good Samaritan who went out of his way and paid out of his pocket to not only help the fallen stranger, but to put him up at the inn. And then gave even extra money and was like, look, if this is not enough, here's some more. Make sure that this guy's all right. That Good Samaritan was not expecting anything back. But those who give generously that way, God will pay you back. He will surely reward you. You know, before I left New York 2 years ago, I had an electric guitar. It was my first guitar ever. As a sophomore in high school, you know, my daddy took me to the flea market, and we bought this Mexican Stratocaster. And that was my first guitar. I learned the guitar on it. I used to play Smashing Pumpkins on it all the time. And, you know, I used to rock on that guitar. I loved that guitar. That was my baby. You know? And, you know, but I never really played it that much because, you know, I was so busy. And the students were like, when I was leaving, they were like, hey, Christian, don't you have an electric guitar? I was like, yeah. We're wondering if we can borrow it. And I was like, borrow it? You mean you won't give it back? They're like, yeah, we just want to borrow it. But in a couple of years, you guys won't be here. And then if I come claiming the guitar, they might not know me. And they might be like, well, who are you? So I knew the ramifications of borrowing, let them borrowing the guitar. But you know what? God moved on my heart and was just like, look, just give it up. And it was my baby. That was a lot of sentimental value to that guitar. I took care of it. You know? That's like my first love. You know what I mean? And I gave it up. I gave it up for the ministry. I gave it to the students and they used it. A year later, I was serving as the best man for my friend's wedding. And he's in farm retail, so he makes a lot of money. And we got out of his Mercedes and went into his apartment and we're playing with some of his guitars. And he had like three guitars. I didn't know he had so many guitars. Two of them were Taylor's. One was a Gibson custom-made songwriter. And I was playing it, and I was just like, wow, this guitar is, you know, hot. I love this guitar. This is so good. And we're putting it away, and we're about to leave for wedding preparations. And he's like, yeah, do you want that guitar? And I was like, oh, nah, yes, that's good. I'll pay you for it. I'll give you some. How much you want for it? Maybe I can, you know, ask some, you know, people to, you know, help support me, and maybe I can buy the guitar off your hands or something like that. And he's like, no, bro, I don't even really use it. Why don't you just take it? I was like, what? Nah, I can't. Okay. Just like that, he gave me, I'm pretty sure it's close to $3,000. $3,000 guitar. And the funny thing is, do you know what acoustic guitar I wanted throughout all my high school days? It was a Gibson. A Gibson songwriter. God gave me a Gibson custom songwriter. I didn't like Taylor's. Martin's alright. But it's the Gibson I wanted. And God provided. I gave up this beat up $150 Mexican Strat. And I got an American U.S. made Gibson songwriter. Hallelujah. God blesses those who give generously. And brothers and sisters, if you have an opportunity to give, I encourage you to give and give generously. If you can donate something, or, you know, just give it away, just give it away. I got that mentality where, like, I can get a price for it, you know? And, you know, I need to stop that. Alright, don't sell it, just give it. You know why? Because if you sell it, there'll be no blessing for you. But if you give it, oh, God's gonna bring a Gibson songwriter. Because I could have been like to those students, look, man, at least give me $20 for it or something, you know? Give me something for it, you know? No. It's because God saw my heart. He saw that I was just giving generously. Brothers and sisters, God wants you to give and give generously. And I know of testimonies of missionaries when they hit financial hardships, they would do the illogical. When they have the least, you know what they do? They give the most away. And when they do, without fail, God blesses them 2, 3, 10-fold of what they gave away. And I could testify, it's happened so many times I can't point out any one incident. Or whenever I hit a financial hardship, I do the exact opposite of what the world will tell me to do. Instead of saving up, I hit a financial hardship, I'm like, oh, it's time to give it away. When you do that, that demonstrates faith. It's such a bold move of faith. God's destined to bless you. He just loves that. You got no money, but you're giving away to the poor, to the church, to the missionary. You're giving away. Oh, you know I'm going to bless you. Oh, you know it's coming. Second point of my message tonight is, God wants you to excel in the grace of giving. So seek, brothers and sisters, to be a giver. And if you're going to give, do it cheerfully. And if you're going to give anyway, might as well store up a blessing by giving generously. And that's why I like about like my sister Melissa, you know. When we go out to dinner, you know, it'll be some big birthday party. You know, it'll just be some big birthday party. And then I give up my money. And I'm like searching for change. Like, somebody got one. Yo, one. You got some coins? Give me some coins. And we try to gather up, you know, the exact amount. And then Melissa goes, and she just pays the whole thing. I'm like, why'd you do that? I get all angry, you know. Why'd you do that? Thank you. You know, like you know, it's just she just gives, and when she does it, she does it generously. And I haven't really paid her back because I haven't. But I'm sure God's gonna do it, and I'm sure that you know she's come through some financial hardship right now, but you know God's gonna repay her tenfold of what she gave away. Because God loves a cheerful giver. If you look in the Gospels, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. The third point of my message tonight is God calls you to greatness. He calls you to greatness in His kingdom by being a servant to all. And there is no other way. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, then you must be a servant to all. Mature believers in the church who are filled with God's fire, they want to do great things for God. They want to be great in the sight of God. But we must realize that God exalts those who humble themselves. He makes great those who are willing to be a servant of all. If you want to be great, you got to be a servant. Turn to your neighbor and tell him that. If you want to be great, you got to be a servant. You see, it's God's nature to oppose the proud and gives grace to the humble. It's God's nature to oppose the proud and give grace to the humble. That's why God loves a servant heart. Because in order for you to be a true servant, oh, you got to be humble. You got to lower yourself and wash people's feet. You got to take out the trash and do the dirty things that nobody else was willing to do. Do the things that is not recognized. It goes unrecognized. But you do it week in and week out. Oh, you're going to need a humble heart to be a servant. But it's in God's nature to exalt those who have a servant's heart. The Bible tells us to clothe yourself with humility. And every day when we get dressed, we got to tell ourselves, Lord, give me the attitude of a servant today. Lord, I'm all about expecting people to cater to my needs, to my comforts, but today, Lord, may I go out of the way to serve people. Look, anybody can serve people where those opportunities just open up, you know, just in the normal course of life. But God's looking for people who go out of the way to serve people, who are creative in serving people. Because the Bible says, greatness in the kingdom of God can only be achieved by being a servant to all. I know a guy named Mike Coe. He was a senior when I was a freshman at NYU. Smart guy, driven business guy. But one thing I remember about him was he had a servant's heart. And you know, a lot of people have influenced me over the years. Nothing that Mike really said ever influenced me, because the things he said were kind of silly, and he would do these one-liners. You know, he always used to say, we build good ships here. yeah, Christian, you're one of those ships. We're building good ships here. I was like, Mike, shut up. What? That doesn't make any sense. What? Build good ships here. And he put that in my farewell thing, yearbook, Casey yearbook, whatever, you know. I was influenced by things he said, but I was influenced by his servanthood. You see, during my freshman year, I came to Korea for our Campus Crusade conference, our summer conference. And this summer, it's going to be in hotels and condos and at the largest convention center in Asia. But back then, when I was a freshman, it used to be intense. And the year I went as a freshman, they had the worst monsoon season. And we were at a beach. It's called Mongsangpo. I can't forget it still. All right, it's like a horror movie title for me. That was just the hardest week of my life. All right? And they crammed like 12 guys into a tent that was made for four. I kid you not, literally there were 12 guys. And it kept raining and raining. And the first night I slept, I remember, I tried to lay down, but no one could really lay down. So you had to kind of lay on your arm like this. Everybody just kind of spooning each other. And my shirt was all wet. It's the worst feeling in the world. When you like sleep and your shirt's all drenched. It's like the worst feeling in the world. And then you got mosquitoes on the other side. You're smacking all night because they keep biting you. That was Mongsangpo. And I was cranky and grumbling, and I just remember thinking, God, this is just so degrading. I'm not learning anything from this. And the next morning, we went to wash up, and the fountains were just filled with students. Imagine there are 12,000 students at this thing, 10,000 students. So it's just filled with lines of students. And so might as well at least just go pee. And we try to go pee. And the makeshift bathrooms that they made had already overflooded. Because, you know, it's raining. And on top of that, people are going and raining and going. So it overflooded. It was like this makeshift wooden thing that they built. There's a big, like, steel can, I guess, that was underneath. But it overflooded over. And so all the guys, you know, all we did was stand outside and we just aim in. You know. But the girls, I don't know how they did it. I have no idea how they did it. Cause it just, if you went, it would be all over your feet. Like, it's, you know? And I just remember, this is horrible. I'm not getting blessed at this thing. And we couldn't wash up, so what we did was, we went and we bought a thing of water, a big 2-liter thing of water. And we used it to brush our teeth. And I remember going, hey, Mike, why don't you brush your teeth first? He's like, no, Christian, you go, you know, you go. That's how he talks. And you go. I was like, all right. So I brush my teeth, you know. Hey, I need some more water. Okay, pour some water. Brush my teeth. And so I go, man, this is like, we should be drinking this water. Yeah, I know. Pour some water. And I wash my face. And by the time I use Clearasil, by the way, Clearasil facial wash. Anyway, by the time I was done, I was like, Mike, your turn. So I grabbed the bottle and I poured the water and it was all gone. And I just remember thinking, man, I'm selfish. I didn't even notice that the water was all gone. And Mike was like, oh, no, it's okay, Christian. I just spit out the toothpaste and something. I don't know. But he didn't rinse out very well. He didn't even wash his face. But I just remember that most of the image of him pouring water for me and insisting that I finish washing my face, even though he knew all the water was running out. That's the kind of guy Mike was. He had a servant's heart. You know where Mike is today? He is one wealthy guy, all right. Got his master's at NYU Stern and everything. He is making the money, because he is the most generous guy in New York KCCC history that we know. He continues to give and give generously, but the thing is, he'll give like $500, $1,000 to different people and different missions trips. But there's just no end to it. And I always see his name on all the support lists. I'm like, how does he do it? Well, that's how you do it. You just keep giving. And when you keep giving, God keeps blessing. Mike is a good example when I think of servanthood. Maybe he's not on stage preaching. Maybe he's not winning thousands to Christ. But I'm pretty sure that his servant heart is highly esteemed by God. My third point tonight, brothers and sisters, is God calls you to greatness in His kingdom by being a servant to all. So seek to be a servant. And in closing, I'd just like to say, the key to being blessed is, are you willing to be a blessing? The key to getting things from God and receiving His abundant blessings is, are you giving to those who cannot pay you back? Are you giving to those brothers and sisters around you? The key to living a dynamic life, Christian life, where you are raised up in greatness and favor is, are you being a servant to all? Because brothers and sisters, Jesus, He came to this earth not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing. As you read in Matthew 8 earlier, He went around just constantly doing good. The Bible says the Holy Spirit anointed Him and He went around doing good. Jesus was a blessing every single day He was on this earth. And then secondly, He gave. Oh, He gave generously. He gave joyfully. The Bible says, fix your eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Jesus gave His life for you and I. And lastly, Jesus was a servant. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, if you have no inspiration to be a blessing or to give or to be a servant, just look upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the greatest example and inspiration we need to really be the blessing that God has called us to be. Let's pray.